When Cheryl asked me to share about thirsting for God a month ago, it was easy to say yes, for that is one of the few things on my faith journey that I am sure of. I do thirst for God. It's been good to reflect on my life and discover a thread that I might never before have labeled thirsting for God. I've called it longing for answers, or searching for the truth, or for love, or for security, or seeking purpose, or understanding the meaning of life. I like how all these journeys really fit under the umbrella of thirsting for God. So let me share some times in my life that I was searching. As a child, I longed for hugs and got them mostly from my gram. I also longed for approval and earned it by being good. I enjoyed solitude and liked to be alone with my cat Felix and my rabbits, Patches, Whitney, and Fluffy. Was I searching for love, affirmation, and comfort? Was this the first inkling of thirsting for God? At school, I was never good in phys ed class, always last in laps around the track, and was picked last for team events. Painful, painful memories from 60 years ago. Then I started figure skating lessons, where I felt strong, free, creative, and courageous. I still remember the thrill of landing my first axel, a jump of 1.5 revolutions, taking off from my forward left outer edge and landing on my rear right outer edge. And mind you, there are now competitors who can do quadruple axels. And also of completing my first sit spin and performing a duet with my sister at the local skating studio to the tune of "By the sea, by the sea, by the beautiful sea," and we were wearing little sailor outfits. We could have sung that song this morning, but I didn't find it in the hymnal. I had found a source that quenched my thirst and gave me life. Reliving this memory this week was crazy powerful. I still have a pair of skates in storage that I just can't quite let go of yet. And I still love to watch skating competitions on TV. Growing up, I gravitated toward friends that were a few years younger than myself. Was that my way of holding on to innocence and playfulness? Was I thirsting for relationships that would let me be myself without judgment, the way God loves us? As for many, my time in college was mostly wandering. My brother and sister called Clark University a hippie school. I spent all my time studying. I was thirsting for a 4.0. I became a teacher, got married, and had two daughters. Life was full. I was busy finding my way through each day, not taking time to pay attention to my longings. I did find a pattern, however, that was a new awareness for me after all these years. I've always longed to be in leadership. I wanted a title, an official identity that would give me recognition. I took courses to become certified as a school principal. I never succeeded in such a position, finding such a position. Was this thirst for affirmation actually a longing for being valuable and worthy, a longing that I didn't realize could come from God? Ever since beginning to face the trauma of childhood sexual abuse, I've been in some kind of counseling. At first, it was a quest for healing, a way for dealing with memories, confronting the abuser, releasing shame, and regaining self-esteem. When did this quest for healing turn into a quest for God? I loved going on retreats, and I still do. I was a student in the Cairo School of Spiritual Formation with Clayton Schwarzenruber in the 80s, and it was there that I met Wanda Craner, who has been my spiritual mentor ever since. How I miss my times with Mary Lou Cummings and Marilyn Nolt, when we talked about our longings. Two gifted artists who found God in the earth, the flowers, the dumpster, touch, and who accepted me as an equal and let me blossom with my own creativity in my own style. It was their encouragement that I applied for the position in France with Mennonite Mission Network to live in Alsace for 2 years and become a part of that community. What was I longing for? It felt like a calling. Thirst for a French God, a new God, a vaster God. As you know, I never got there due to visa issues. At first, I did feel rejection by God. I felt so highly qualified for the position. But that feeling didn't last because I kept finding new options to pursue. I did get to the Camino in Spain. Talk about thirsting. It's hard to explain the feelings I had leading up to this trip. I had to do it. I had never even talked to anyone personally who had hiked on the Camino, but I read books and watched videos and knew that I needed to go. Living water. I found it there. I still go to YouTube frequently to find new videos of others' Caminos experiences. I prefer that to movies. It feels similar to when I watch figure skating. I come alive vicariously through seeing others do what I love. How grateful I am for technology as I age and must let go of demanding physical activity. Staying near home, I still found ways to keep searching. My 2 years of clinical pastoral education at Penn Foundation was another step I took in faith, never really understanding what I was seeking in the end. I learned, I formed wonderful relationships, and I was affirmed for who I was without any seminary degree or church leadership roles. I went through training to become a Gestalt pastoral care minister. After two practicums and several years of soul searching, I let go of this dream. I realized that the skills I had learned were enough. I didn't need the credentials. I grieved. But I also knew that God was in the picture. It's not all or nothing. Every little step we take is a part of the whole. I will be forever changed by this training. So how do I experience God as living water today? Surely one crucial way is by being part of this forgiving, welcoming, and inclusive Perkasie Mennonite Church community, where I can be totally honest and totally loved for who I am. Thank you. In Libby's Soul Matters group, I experience God's breath in each person's authentic sharing every month. Being part of Church of the Holy Spirit is also nurturing me in many ways. The greatest gift has been my introduction to centering prayer. It has absolutely freed me of all the shoulds and oughts of religion and the church institution. This is not the place to introduce you to this discipline. Cynthia Bourgeau, a modern-day mystic, an Episcopal priest, and a writer, has hundreds of YouTube videos you can watch if you are interested in learning more about the practice of centering prayer. I am definitely no expert, but I can tell you how I have been changed by it. I have let go of not meeting up to God's standards. just showing up is enough. There is no such thing as a bad centering prayer sit. Your intention is all that matters. Thoughts will come, and they are neither good nor bad. When you release them, something happens. It helps me immensely to do centering prayer when I am in a group with others doing the same thing. It's like some kind of collective energy is present. From this group, I have learned that I don't need to prove myself worthy to God. My job on earth is to spread love. This awareness has permeated my very being. The privilege of welcoming Catherine, Ian, and Leah into this community has flowed so naturally for me. Helping Khadija from the Ivory Coast to learn both English and early literacy has brought me such joy. Walking Sophie around the Sutterton Mennonite Home campus and chatting with whomever we run into, including Earl Rosenberger of late, is one of the most pleasant parts of my day. Besides centering prayer, I also participate in an online prayer group twice a week and a Compline service Thursday evenings. I believe it's the combination of being filled with uplifting scripture, prayer, and reflections, along with friends to share that experience with, that makes it all so rich. I've never been very good at sitting down in the morning and reading my Bible and praying. Although attendance is totally optional, I think that being accountable to one another is what keeps me coming back. Finally, I feel God's presence in a new way. Sure, there are days when I feel anxious and grumpy and wonder if there is a God. But overall, there's a new internal assurance that I will never have to go thirsty as long as I remain open to the opportunities that God puts before me each day to share God's love with the world. Let me close with a passage from Hebrews 13. Holy God, be in my mind that I might let go of all that diminishes the movement of your spirit within me. Discerning God, be in my eyes that I might see you in the midst of all the busyness that fills my life. Loving God, be in my heart that I might be open to those with whom I share ministry and to the whole human family. Gracious God, be in that grace-filled silence that lies deep within me, that I might live in Christ as Christ lives in me. Amen.